Guten Morgen, meine Schwestern und mein Bruder in Christus. Nein, nein, ich spreche nicht Deutsch. The reason I greeted you in German this morning, good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is because we have a group of people from our church who are in Berlin today helping do ministry with our missionary colleagues who live in Berlin. During this week, they're going to do some prayer walks, if it's not too cold and snowy. Imagine leaving humid, nice, wonderful Reading and going to that cold climate. But they're going to be over there doing some ministry. They're also preparing a Thanksgiving meal as part of their ministry. It's amazing. Most countries around the world do not celebrate Thanksgiving. But when they hear about American Thanksgiving, they're like, I always wondered what that was like. And it's a way of outreach. So we want to be praying for our team that's over there with Aaron and Rhoda Steinert and the other missionaries that are, or international workers that are in Berlin, that God would open some doors, that God would keep them healthy during this time, you know, and that they would come back encouraged in their spirits as they have done ministry in Berlin. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you have allowed a number of people from our congregation to go to Berlin and to have ministry in that huge city. We pray, God, that you would open up doors for people to come and encounter you in a way that they've never done so before. Pray, God, that you would keep your hand on not only our team members, but also those who they are working with, that they would be healthy, that they would be safe, and that they would just sense a moving of your spirit in their lives while they're over there. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a little under 2 weeks from today, we're having our church's annual celebration. It's on Saturday night at 6 o'clock. Come for dessert, and then come for a time of celebration of what's been going on in our church throughout the past year. Also have a voice in choosing those who will be representing our congregation and giving leadership to our congregation as we choose new leaders for our executive committee and the elders committee. Also during this time of celebration, we're going to have an open mic. I suppose you could sing if you would like. But it's acceptable. It's acceptable. But really what we would like is for people to come and share with our congregation what God has been doing in your life, the way you've been seeing God work in you, change you, bring you closer to him, things that you can celebrate with us as a church, and Thanksgiving, just ways of thanking God for all that he's doing. So put that down on your calendar. If you get the emails from the church, you've already gotten a notice of it 2 times. Actually 3 or 4 times because it comes out in what's brewing also. If you don't get the communication from the church, please write your name and your email address on the back of one of those welcome cards so that we can start sending you the information from our church on a weekly basis. Notice over in the corner we have a whole pile of boxes. They're getting antsy. They want to leave. Actually, they are leaving today. If there are some of you who are available after the second service, we'd be glad to have you come and help load some cars where we'll get so that we can take the boxes to their point of departure. So that'll be happening after the second service. But also what we would like to do today is pray over the boxes. We're going to be praying for our boxes. A little egotistical, aren't we? But we're using this time of prayer over our boxes, not just for our church boxes, but for the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of boxes that are going to go around the world, go to children in need in places where we will never be able to go, but those boxes can go. And they will encourage those kids. They'll help those kids discover who Jesus is, discover that people around the world love them. And what our prayer is, that people kids would be able to discover Jesus. So what we're doing today to help facilitate that is that there are some people in our congregation who have a box. If you have a box, would you hold that box up, please? So you see those boxes? I would like for our church people to gather around somebody who has a box and for you to spend just a couple of minutes praying not only over our boxes, but the boxes that are going to go around the world. And as we consider the boxes going around the world, let's not forget also that we do have some expenses, about $2,200 to raise yet to send those boxes. So if you would like to help send the boxes, you can take that one of those little envelopes and put some money in it or marking on it saying boxes, and that'll go to help send those boxes around the world. So let's gather around a box. If you can get close to someone who has a box, would somebody here get a box so that we have a couple boxes on this side? Just go ahead and grab a box. And Dan, if you'll move back a little bit so that people can get close to your box. So find a box and just pray as the Lord leads you to pray over your box in your area. Our Father in heaven, as we consider Christmas coming up, we remember that some people came to see Jesus when he was a little child. They brought him gifts, and in my mind at least, some of those were in boxes. And that reminds us of these boxes that we have packed, our church has packed, that other churches in Reading and in California and in the United States and in Canada and in other countries of the world have packed, to send it to the third world, to places where they don't usually get gifts like this. We thank you, Father, for all the people who have been generous and given. We thank you, Father, for those who have had this thought of this initiative many years ago. And we thank you for all the boxes that have already gone out and touched people's kids' lives and brought their families to Christ. And we pray, God, a blessing over these boxes this year, that as they go to places in Africa and Asia and South America and Europe and maybe even here in the United States, God, that you would use the toys, the books, the clothes, and the little message inside to touch someone's heart, to bring them to Jesus so that they can know you and enter into relationship with you. I pray, God, your protection upon the boxes as they leave from our church to the distribution point and they're put in a truck and sent somewhere else. And as they go around the world, I pray, God, a protection upon them till they arrive at the point that they're supposed to go. In the glorious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Sean. Hi. Nice to meet you. It's good to be here. Thank you, Jason and team. Another great worship set. If those have been around for a while and maybe weren't here last week, we've got Jason and his daughters helping us lead worship for the next few weeks, well, this week and next week as well, as our typical worship leaders. You know, you have two of them. You think that would be enough to cover people when they're gone, but no. They decided to both be gone the same 3 weeks. So anyway, Laura's in Berlin right now with the Berlin team, and Grace is, I believe, somewhere on the East Coast visiting family and having a good time. And so anyway, praise the Lord that they got to get away, and we still get to have a wonderful worship leader with us this morning. So thank you, Jason. Couple of things before I get into the final message of the book of Revelation that we'll be doing is that just wanted to mention a couple of things. One, annual celebration, just encourage you to show up. Even if you're newer to our church, even if you're, you know, haven't been around very long, we want to encourage you to come out. It'd be a great opportunity, actually, if you're newer to our church, to kind of get to know our church and to see us in a different light in when we get together for this annual celebration. It's always a great time of hearing stories of God's goodness and also some time to be able to cast vision as well as we look into 2026. So just encourage everyone to consider that and to come and join us for that. Second, this morning during the table between, which is the hour that we have in between our two services for fellowship and for snacks and those kind of things, today we had scheduled to share the gifts, the housewarming gifts that we had prepared for Tim and Vi Steinard. So Tim and Vi have come off the mission field after many, many years blessing other cultures and other missionaries and other folks as they've served in different places around the globe. They have retired from that and are transitioning here into Reading, and so we've done some housewarming gifts for them. So they were supposed to receive those gifts today at the table between. However, got a call yesterday from Tim, and Vi had a ruptured retina that needed to be taken care of. So they are in the hospital down in Sacramento. Be praying for Vi as the surgery went well, but there's still, of course, the recovery process and all that. And so just be praying for them, and we'll get those gifts to them somehow, probably this week or the next, and talking with Katie about how to do that. But let's be praying for them. Matter of fact, let's just take a moment and pray for them right now. Lord, we thank you for Tim and Vi. We thank you for their many years of ministry, and thank you for how you've blessed and used them throughout their lives to further your kingdom and to expand your kingdom into the far reaches of our world. We thank you for your love for them and your faithfulness to them, and we just ask that you would once again prove your love and faithfulness to them in this time. Lord, just you would just bring perfect healing to that eye, and that this would have no lingering effects for Vi, that she would be able to continue to see well and be able to do the many things that she loves to do. I pray you'd give her patience, give her joy somehow in the midst of this recovery process as well, that she would just sense your presence with her and encouraging her, and give Tim strength to be able to care for her needs and to come alongside her in this time as well, and help us as a church to know what we can do, if not just prayers, but also what are the tangible things that we can do to come and bless them and maybe provide some meals or whatever it may be. We'll see. For your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Revelation. We have worked our way through this book this year. This will be the 25th and the final message on the book of Revelation. And I'm excited to be here, but it has been quite the journey, and I've enjoyed it. I hope you have enjoyed it as well. I thought about, you know, taking a poll today to see, you know, okay, was that all right, yeah, you know, kind of see where we land, but no, it's good. I trust that the Lord has blessed you through it, and so today I want to do two things. I want to try to do a quick kind of summary of what I would say are the big picture items that I feel like were emphasized in not only my messages, but also I think that are just naturally within this book, Revelation. And then I want to conclude by emphasizing the final message of Revelation in chapter 22, where Jesus says three times, "I am coming soon." I began this series with actually four introductory messages before even getting into the chapter one of Revelation. Emphasizing the reality that there are a lot of perspectives on the book of Revelation, a lot of debate, a lot of confusion, and a lot of different perspectives. And in those opening four messages, I sought to encourage all of us to four things. First of all, to let go if we have fear, to let go of fear, let go of confusion, and to let go of systems that we have created from the book of Revelation, and instead to come to Revelation with fresh eyes. I then invited everyone to let go of the typical escapist mindset that views Revelation as something that is only for the future church, and not personalized for us today. Third, I invited us to let go of a pessimistic view of Revelation and of the future that tends to stir in us fear and cause us to want to isolate from our world. And then finally, I asked us to consider letting go of the warrior Jesus imagery, who often is viewed as this. His second coming is coming in order to kill and destroy, instead of to come to usher in his brand new and beautiful and loving kingdom. Do you hear the frog again? Yes. He's back. Yes, it's been a Revelation thing, I think. Yeah, it's amazing. We invite all creatures, great and small, into our church, and he can even have some, you know, some sermon time if he wants, you know, stage time. He's got it. It's good. All right. So, one of the other images that I kind of presented at the beginning of these messages in Revelation was the idea that maybe we needed to change the soundtrack that is playing behind the events of Revelation. Our typical reaction when we open up the book of Revelation, or perspectives that we bring, is that there are bagpipes of war that are playing in the background as we read this book, or that there are orchestras of horror that are playing in the background. And I have throughout invited us to grab a different soundtrack, to allow the tone to be set maybe a little bit different way than what we traditionally would do so, or think the way that we would think, or the music that would be playing in our minds. And I asked us to, at the end here, I feel like I finally, at the beginning, I didn't know what soundtrack would be playing. I kind of tried to figure that out, and I couldn't figure it out. But now at the end, I look back and I go, I think this is the soundtrack that should be playing. It should be a soundtrack, first of all, of choirs of praise. The Hallelujah Chorus, right? Right out of the book of Revelation. That as we read the book of Revelation, there should be time and chapter after chapter after chapter where that great hymn comes to mind, and we begin to sing with the great choir praises to God. And then the second soundtrack I think would be fitting for the book of Revelation would be Bugles of Reveille. Preparing for joining Jesus, getting excited about joining Jesus and what he's doing, his final acts before the end of the world, his final moments to bring in the kingdom, the fullness of the kingdom that he wants to bring in. And so I hope that next time you grab the book of Revelation and begin to read it, that the choirs of praise and bugles of reveille will be playing in the background. Seems to me there are basically three big pictures that the book of Revelation invites us into. First of all, the series title was Behold the Lamb. It is my conviction that this is the image that Jesus, as he gave this revelation to John, this is the image that he chose to portray himself as over and over and over again. Almost 30 times in the book of Revelation, Jesus appears as the Lamb who was slain. And this pushes against the warrior image of Jesus, because wait a second, you know, we want him to be on this, you know, big white stallion with this massive sword that's going to come and slay all of his enemies, right? And there's going to be this blood and this gore and this destruction and this evil that's going to be wiped out off the earth. But Jesus says, no, I want you to see me differently. I want you to see me as the lamb who was slain. Recognizing that he has indeed already won victory over evil. He already destroyed the enemy. He's already taken out all of his foes. He's already poured out all of his wrath on all of evil for all time. And that was then, all of that happened on the cross. That is Jesus's way. That is the Lamb's way of victory, is loving sacrifice. To give his life, to lay down his life, even for his enemies. This is a beautiful image throughout Revelation, and one that we need to grab onto over and over again. Revelation 5, verse 6, and between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. This beautiful imagery was first expressed by John in his gospel by, as he quotes John the Baptist, declaring that Jesus is the Lamb. John 1:29, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We see in this revelation that the Lamb is on the throne, that he is already reigning, that we don't have to wait for some future exaltation of Jesus to the throne. He is already on the throne. He is in control. He doesn't need to come back to destroy and defeat, because he's already won. The Lamb who conquered sin, death, and the dragon through sacrifice, through the sword of truth that came out of his mouth. The beautiful thing that I think we see in Revelation, which may be shocking to some with the typical perspective, is that the Lamb throughout Revelation expresses his longing for all to come into his kingdom. He expresses over and over again his desire for those who are choosing to walk in the way of the dragon to let go of that way, to recognize that that way only leads to death, and instead to turn from that way and to walk in the way of the Lamb, the way of life. He lovingly warns the world by allowing them to face the consequences for their sin. Allowing them to suffer for the ways that they're walking in the way of the dragon. The beautiful image of Jesus as the Lamb is vital to our understanding of what God is doing, what he's wanting in these last days. I hope the next time we grab the book of Revelation and open it up, as we read, that we would be awed by the gracious sacrifice expressed by the Lamb. That we would be inspired to accept his sacrifice if we haven't already, and that we would be empowered to walk in the way of the Lamb with him. The second, I think, big theme or big perspective that we found in the book of Revelation is that what is the call for the church to conquer. We see the church is meant to wake up. Some debate over who this book was written to, right? There's some, idea that this book was written for the future, or written for some future kingdom or future church, but it was written to the churches 2,000 years ago when the book was first authored, but it was written for all churches of all time. And the message begins in chapters 2 and 3 with seven different statements spoken to different aspects of church life to be able to wake us up Over and over again, Jesus is portraying and proclaiming to the church, wake up, purify yourself, get yourself right. The time is now, tribulation is here, and you need to be prepared in order to walk in these days. Revelation 2:7, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. The invitation to the church is to wake up and to conquer, to understand the mission of the Lamb, to understand that we are meant to be drawing all humanity into his kingdom. We have been saved. We have received the gracious gift of eternal life, and others have yet to receive it. And so we join Jesus in his mission. We are called to wake up and understand the method of the Lamb. Too often we see evil and we want to do one of two things, destroy it or run from it. And Jesus, over and over again in the book of Revelation, invites us to engage with it and to love it and to sacrifice for it. That we would win the victory like he won the victory through the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and the willingness even to lay down our life as Jesus laid down his. Revelation 12:11. Again, I believe this is the core message in the very middle of the book that encompasses all of the book in one. If you want to make a summary statement, this is what it could be. And they have conquered him, the evil one, the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. The invitation to the church is to wake up, but it's also to rise up, to proclaim the truth of God's word, to proclaim the gospel message. The reality is, as the world suffers under the consequences of their sin, or under the consequences of walking in the dragon, that suffering will never lead to life if they never know there's another way. We as believers, as people who are following the Lamb, we are meant to walk the way the Lamb walked, and we are meant to proclaim the way of the Lamb. We need to rise up. We need to recognize the important role that we play in this tribulational period, this era that we're in. The church age is a missional age. It's an age to share the love of Jesus with all we come in contact with, but especially those who are steeped in sin and in darkness. And it's an invitation for the church to have courage, to wake up, to rise up, to join Jesus in what he's doing takes courage. It is not a normal thing for a human being to put their life on the line for someone else. It's something that takes courage. Yet it's something that every believer is invited to do, to walk in Jesus' way, to be willing to walk into the enemy's camp, willing for them to take their life, our life, in order to be able to proclaim the love of Jesus. One of the great encouragements, I think, in Revelation is this idea that we do not even need to fear death, that our life is secure, our eternal life is secure, that they cannot do anything to us that will remove us out of the kingdom of God. We are there and we're secure, and so because we're there and because we're secure, we can walk with boldness into the dark places of the world. That we would bring the light of Jesus into those dark places, and that light would drive out the darkness so that all who are destined to come into the kingdom of God would come. We need courage, and we see that courage throughout these chapters of the church, of the great multitude, of the 144,000, of the two witnesses, these amazing images of the fact that we, the church, are safe and secure. Even those who martyred are honored and glorified and blessed. It is my hope that the next time you open the book of Revelation and begin to read it, that you would receive the purifying words of the Lamb. That you would allow the conviction to land in our hearts. That we change our ways as a result of what we've heard. But also that you would accept the invitation to join the Lamb in loving sacrifice as he builds his kingdom. The third, I think, big picture perspective that Revelation gives us is a word of warning to the world. Certainly, we shouldn't expect that those who don't know Jesus would read the book of Revelation. So, in large part, this warning to the world is got to come through someone. It's got to come through the church, again, as we walk with people in darkness, as they suffer for the consequences of their sin, and as we point them to the way of the Lamb. But there are great dangers, or there's great warnings in this book as well. The way of the dragon leads to eternal death and destruction. There's a thing called the second death, which we should all fear and be concerned about, especially if we are not walking in the way of the Lamb. Revelation 19:20, and the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who was in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. There is a judgment that's coming, and it's a judgment of the second death that is coming for all who walk in the way of the dragon himself, the beast of the sea and a beast of the land, even death and Hades are all going to be judged and put into the lake of fire, but those who walk in the way of the dragon will as well. And so the warning is, if your life is spinning out of control, if all you are experiencing is death and destruction and pain and suffering, that that may be a sign that God is trying to get your attention. He's trying to wake you up because he loves you. He doesn't want to destroy you. He doesn't want you to experience the second death. He is calling out to you to please turn from your ways and choose instead his way, the way of the Lamb, the way of life. The Lamb has died for those who are walking in the way of the dragon. He has given his life for them. He's taken the punishment for their sin. All they need is for them is to choose Jesus. This is the heart of God. And I think as we read through the judgments, the seals and the trumpets and the bowl judgments throughout Revelation, we have to read them through the lens of 2 Peter 3:9 because this is the heart of God. And too often we look at these verses of judgment as if God is coming and just wiping people out here and there and everywhere and just getting his vengeance on all evil people that chose to reject him. But that's not his heart. His heart is 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That is his heart, but he also wants the world to know, those who are walking in the way of the dragon, that his mercy will come to an end. There will be a time when there is no more chance for them to turn from the way of the dragon. And he doesn't want them to miss out. The next time you read the book of Revelation, it is my hope that maybe you would be convicted of any areas where you are walking in the way of the dragon. If there's any in the room even today that have never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and these words, these verses are causing some angst in you, I just want you to know right now that Jesus is inviting you in. There is another way. It's not a way that is just going to be all, you know, easy and no, never have any problems or any of that. but it's a way where you will never be alone. It's a way where you will get to enjoy the beauty and the love of God over and over and over again, no matter what you're experiencing in this life. And it's a way that leads to eternal life. The second death has no more power, and you get to spend the rest of eternity with your loving Savior in the perfect creation that He has laid out for you. It seems to me the final message of this book of Revelation, as is expressed in Revelation chapter 22, is that Jesus wants His people to know He is coming soon. This is the great promise that all Orthodox Christians cling to and grab a hold of and believe. That Jesus indeed is going to return. Jesus came, He lived among us for 33 years, and then He gave His life as a ransom for all. He died and then rose from the dead. After about 40 days of hanging out with His believers and encouraged them and speaking life over them, then He ascended to the Father, where He was seated on the throne to reign for all eternity, for all the rest of time. And we get to reign with Him. But everything wasn't set right quite yet. We still have a sinful nature that continues to even harass us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we still see evil wreaking havoc around our world day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. But Jesus has promised that He will one day return. And when He returns, all things will be made new. Evil will be done away with for all of the rest of time. And goodness and glory and love and beauty will be all that will be left. All that will be remained for those who have chosen to walk in the way of the Lamb. Hallelujah, this is the great promise. We can't wait for that day, and it's fitting for us as believers, especially when we're facing the painful realities of this sinful world we live in, to cry out, Jesus, come back. Come back now. Hurry up. Come on. We want You to make all things new. We want You to get rid of this evil that continues to wrestle against us. Even Paul in Romans chapter 7, he's like this wrestling match. God, I what is going on? I have these things that I want to do. I want to walk in the way of the Lamb, but the way of the dragon continues to tempt me, and my flesh continues to do these dumb things. Lord, when is the day going to come when the evil will be gone and I won't have to fight that anymore, and I'll just be able to walk in perfection with You? Revelation 22:7 says to us in that moment of despair, in that moment of frustration, in that moment when we're crying out for Him to come back, it says, and behold, Jesus says, I am coming soon. This last chapter, interestingly, does not give us any details of how He's going to come soon. And it would be my suggestion as well that the entire book of Revelation is not about telling us how He's going to come. It's about preparing us for when He comes. It is not about the chronological order. It's not about finding that date. It's only about the fact that He is indeed coming. That is our hope. Our hope is not how He comes. Our hope is not when He comes. Our hope is that He is coming. Amen. Acts 1:7, Jesus' final words to His disciples, He says to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority. It is my hope when we read Revelation that we'll give up the task of trying to figure out when or how He's going to come and instead just receive the great blessings that are within this book and to be encouraged that He indeed is coming. But I actually think the biggest message, or the most important message, or most important lesson that we can learn from these final words of Jesus saying over and over again, I am coming soon, is that we would recognize that he is wanting to create in us an urgency in the kingdom. There are so many souls that he wants saved, and so little time. Matthew 24, verses 42 to 44, therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would have not let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Too often we think just getting ready means that we get our souls ready, and once that happens, we just get to sit around and enjoy whatever, or try to escape or avoid whatever evil. But no, there are so many more that are meant to come. We need an increase. We need to be more urgent about the growth of the kingdom of God. And it is not about an increase in busyness. It's about an increase of intentionality. Christians, we are already busy, especially American Christians. Our lives are already full. We already got a lot going on. The vast majority of us don't have any time to even stop and think for a minute. We're just kind of going from one thing to the next. The tyranny of the urgent is what drives so many Christians in America. So the message here is not add more things. The message here is not, hey, you know what? And all the things that you're already doing, we also need to put in there this missional aspect. You got to make sure you start doing evangelism. You start sharing the love of Jesus. You got to start getting into the dark places. That is not the message. The message is intentionality. The fact of the matter is too many American Christians are consumed and distracted by the worldly things. We spend so much time watching news, watching TV, being entertained in some way. We spend so much time earning money in order to put away for our futures. We spend so much time doing the things that this world says is important. But we need to change our citizenship. We need to walk in the way of the Lamb. We need to walk as people who are in the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of men. This is the deception of the dragon. The dragon is very happy for all of us Christians to be very busy doing our things, to even be religious busy, to be doing good thing busy, but not to be busy with the things of the Lamb. What are we doing? What is he inviting us into? What do we need to cut out of our life in order to make room to be more intentional about the things he's inviting us into? If when the pastor gets up and invites you to participate in evangelism, you say, wow, man, I really would love to do that. That's my heart's desire. But how? I don't have any time for it. If that is your response, then what are we going to do about it? If we don't have time to do the things that Jesus is doing, then we're going to miss out on the great joy of partnering with him as he builds his kingdom. And trust me, this is what we were made for. This is the thing that will bring us the greatest joy, the greatest contentment in all of our lives, is to be able to join Jesus as he builds his kingdom. This is the thing that should be the heart's desire. This is the thing that the more time you spend with Jesus, the more time you want to join him in these things. If there is any doubt in your mind of whether or not partnering with Jesus in building his kingdom, praying with someone to accept Jesus for the first time, if there's any doubt in your mind that that is not going to be a great moment in your life, then you have lost your perspective. You have lost the intimacy with Jesus. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more you'll be thinking the way he thinks, and the more you'll be doing the things he's doing. We need intentionality. We don't need busier lives. We need more intentional lives. And I need it as well. As the Lord has been leading us as a church to be thinking more specifically about mission and evangelism and bless, you know, practices of sharing our love with Jesus, I have been convicted as well. I realize I am very busy doing a lot of really good things. I'm a pastor. But I don't have enough intentionality in my life. There's things I need to cut out. And I invite you to join me in it. To allow the Holy Spirit to reveal those things in your life that may be good things. They may be holy things. They may be spiritual things. But he is inviting you to do something different. Allow him to reveal that area, that thing, that activity, that thought, that perspective. Allow him to take it away and allow him to give you something new. We need to intentionally worship the Lamb. And when we are worshiping the Lamb, we are seeking him, we are seeking to know him, and we are joining him. This is the vision of our church, to enjoy our relationship with Jesus Christ to the fullest. And the way to do that is to seek him, to know him, and to join him. All right, worship team, come on up. It's been a great privilege to journey through this book of Revelation with you. To be honest, as I expressed, I think early on, I didn't feel adequate to be able to do this task. But I praise the Lord that I feel like he has given me courage. I think he's strengthened me. He's given me perspectives. There's a lot of what I ended up preaching in Revelation that I didn't expect I was going to end up preaching. And I praise the Lord for that. But I hope maybe you've experienced some of that as well, that when we began this, maybe there was a little bit of fear and trembling. Okay, where's the pastor going to go here? But I hope that now maybe you've been surprised at some of the things the Lord has spoken over you and encouraged you in as we've worked our way through this book. This book is for the church. It's for our church. That we would never lose sight of the Lamb. That we would never lose sight of our role in this tribulational period of time that we're walking through. We get the privilege of joining the Lamb and living the way of the Lamb. I really feel like this book is really evangelistic. It's one of the things that I didn't realize when I first started to get into it, but then after I got in, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so evangelistic. Jesus so longing to bring everybody into his kingdom. So when the next time you open up the book of Revelation, I hope that some of your perspectives have been changed enough, especially those maybe who feared the book of Revelation or maybe were confused by it. I hope now that you'll be more open to reading it and to read it with excitement. I hope also that you'll continue to be blessed and inspired by the book of Revelation, especially to walk with Jesus in loving sacrifice. And I hope you will individually, and I hope we will individually and corporately conquer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And if that means even laying down our life, we're ready. And I hope that a kingdom urgency will consume all that we do for the glory of God and of the Lamb. Amen. All right, will you stand and let's respond to... Thank you for the blessing. Let's stand and respond to whatever the Lord may be saying to you this morning and in a song of worship. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your amazing goodness and your love. We thank you for how you continue to pursue us, all of us, every one of your creation you are in pursuit of, to bring into your kingdom, that we would enjoy the salvation that you have offered, that we would enjoy the eternal life that is meant to be ours. Lord, we thank you for this book of Revelation and how it has revealed to us who you are, but also who we are meant to be as well. May you help us to continue to learn from it as we continue to read it throughout our days, but also may we continue to be inspired by it, be empowered by it, to be able to walk in the way of the Lamb. And let us conclude this series in Revelation by reading just a few excerpts from chapter 5. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church, for being with us this morning. We have a table between now. I hope you'll enjoy some great fellowship and snacks. We've got another song if you want to stay in the room and just continue to worship a bit. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. If you need prayer for whatever it may be, we would love for you to come up and allow us to join you in that. God bless. Have a great Sunday.